This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Bookends.
Kia ora, welcome to Bookends with Ruth Todd and Maureen Rout. Today, Ruth, I'm going to be talking with Wellington writer Adrian Jansen, not just about her new novel, but a collection of poems that she and her co-writer have been nominated for the long list in the Book Awards.
Oh, that's exciting. And Owen Marshall has put out a much lighter book than usual, Pearly Gates.
Wellington novelist and poet Adrian Jansen has been a tireless teacher of and writer about immigrants and their experiences. Her fifth novel is entitled A Change of Key and revisits characters from an earlier novel, The Score. And her latest poetry collection, All of Us, written in collaboration with Karina Gargegos, has been long listed for this year's Ockham New Zealand Book Awards. Congratulations, Adrian. That was a wonderful thing to wake up to last week and find that your name and Karina's was on the list.
Thanks. Yes, it was. Actually, it was a bit of a surprise because we thought this is just a simple book of storytelling poems, but yeah, we're very happy about it.
So tell me about the collaboration. Karina is a South American poet. She's an immigrant, but she's had a lot to do with helping immigrants as well, hasn't she?
She has. And in fact, how it came about, we had worked together previously. We'd actually worked together at Te Papa as writers, and I had an idea for this collection of poems around the experiences of migrants and refugees. And I knew that Karina was a very good writer, so I asked her if she would join me on it and we'd do it together. And it was a really interesting collaboration because she has a different style of writing from me. But I think it's worked very well, and there's something about a collaboration which can really bring out the best in both of us.
Yes, it seems to heighten, if I can use that word, heighten the experiences that come through, because on the one hand, you know, Karina has experienced them, you know, lived through them herself, but also that both of you are so sensitive towards and been so involved in those immigrant experiences.
Yes. Karina has mainly been writing about Colombian refugees because she's been working as a support worker for the Colombian community in particularly in Porirua and Wellington, but not solely about that. And I kind of range across borrowing from a whole bunch of other people. So, I think they fit together all right.
Mm. They do, because it's a very diverse range of voices because of that. And did you try the poems out between each other? Was it you came with your selection, she came with her selection, or was it a more collaborative experience?
We wrote independently, but we certainly worked together a lot. We read each other's poems and commented on them and made suggestions. And also, I mean, there was a selection process going on and also a process of thinking what's missing from this collection. And so we worked together on all of those questions.
And clearly it impressed the judges of the poetry section this year. It must have been something that they were looking for or hoping to find, or maybe it just took them by surprise.
Who knows? But we're very happy with it because we really wanted it to be a collection that lots of people could read, that lots of people who don't even normally read poetry might read this and just get a little insight. Because we are, as I said, they're storytelling poems. We're telling the stories that other people have told us. And, Yeah, we really wanted it to be a collection for a wide range of people, and if something in that has also caught a judge's eye, we're happy about that too.
I bet. And you were telling me before we went on air that there is another volume of poetry about to come out.
Yes, we've done a collection, really a companion collection, which is called More of Us, which is poems by migrants and refugees, which we're launching next month. And we're actually really proud of that collection because we wanted to include people who had been here for a long time, accomplished poets, you know, from a migrant background who've nevertheless written and published in New Zealand for a long time. And we also want to include really new voices. So we've got some high school students who came from Syria about a year ago, and we've got the whole range in between. I think we've got writers, 46 writers from 29 countries. So that's a pretty big spread. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to launching that as well. And the two books do kind of go together, I think.
Well, that's an extraordinary achievement and a wonderful reflection on the work that you do. But also, you know, it's so important for those voices to be heard and to be widely publicised.
Yeah, and I think so too. I think, you know, when people tell their own stories, you know, it shifts our head a little bit. And I think doing that through poetry means that you often, you know, you distill an experience down to something that's quite succinct. And I think, well, I hope this new collection really does that.
Well, I look forward to reading it, and I also look forward to talking to you and maybe one or more of the poets that are in the book.
Sure, because they're actually from all over New Zealand. We put out for submissions to that collection from a big range of organisations all over New Zealand. So I'm sure, you know, they're scattered everywhere.
We'll find some. Good. Now let's change. Well, the novel is called A Change of Key, so let's change the topic.
Sure.
And look at this novel. Is it, in fact, your fifth novel?
It is my fifth novel. Yes, it is. And as you said, it's a sequel to, well, a kind of follow-on from The Score that I published 3 or 4 years ago. And something happened with The Score which kind of took me by surprise. You know, when you publish a novel, sometimes I think it's a bit like throwing something out the window. It goes who knows where. But with that book, The Score, I was really surprised by the number of people who said to me they loved it. And I know that, you know, novels suit some people and not others, and people who don't love it often don't tell you, but there was something in it which I think touched a group of people, and I was interested in that group of characters, so I was really keen to revisit them. So I picked up on the story of a different character.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I have a memory of talking to you, well, I know I talked to you about that book, and I have a memory that at the end you intimated that you were going to revisit you maybe didn't know you were going to at that stage, but you had a sense that one or more of those characters would be tugging at you to to draw you back into the story.
Well, that's true. I really am interested in that group of characters, and there was one character in The Score, Marco, who was always quite an enigmatic character. And, in fact, I didn't know the truth about him either. And so he was the character that I thought I would like to write about again and really figure out what had made him the way he was and follow through with his particular story. So that's what I've done in Change of Key.
So these characters live in a council housing estate in Wellington, I'm presuming. It is Wellington, isn't it? Yes.
Well, it is Wellington. I don't think I ever named Wellington.
No, I don't think you do. That's why I hesitated.
Yeah. Don't, but to me it's Wellington.
Yes, just the sense of place gives you Wellington. But they're largely immigrants. They've got, as all do, very diverse backgrounds. Stefan, who we met in the score, mends pianos, but Marco is, he's a musician and he's quite an outstanding musician. But when the book opens, there's a mystery because he's being named as a possible spy that's being harboured in New Zealand. Or he hasn't actually been named, has he? He's been fingered as...
Well, in the score, there were these rumours about him. Maybe he was from Bulgaria, maybe he was a KGB spy. And so I decided to follow those up. And I decided that he was from Bulgaria. And in fact, I had the opportunity when I was writing this novel to go to Bulgaria. So there was some very interesting research went on behind this novel of me being in Bulgaria. And also some really interesting research for me about the KGB or the FSB as it became, and what would actually have happened to him. And there's a lot of background to this novel.
There is, and we can only encourage people to pick it up, especially if they've read and enjoyed the score, because it's fascinating to find out how he came to be there and what his backstory is. But not only that, all the other people who are there is the a very colourful cast of characters in this. Adrian, we were going to finish with one of your poems from this collection, All mm-hmm. of Us. I just wonder what you've chosen.
I'm going to pick a very tiny poem. A lot of these poems come directly from conversations that I've had with... I'm talking about my poems now. That I've had with people, and sometimes they're almost verbatim. And so I'm going to read a little poem called The BP Station. And I must admit, I'm kind of mining another book here. I did a book a couple of years ago, which was interviews with migrant taxi drivers. And in the process, I met a man whose name I've changed for this poem. And I'm just quoting him in this. So he was from Croatia. He was an economist. He's a very well-educated, well-read man who's now driving a taxi. And there's a BP station in the middle of Wellington where a lot of taxi drivers stop because they can get free parking there. So this is called the BP station. Rain spits on the roof of Joseph's taxi. There's free parking if he buys a coffee. He spreads the newspaper in front of him. I read it every day, he says, to remind myself that I am an educated man.
Thank you. I think that speaks volumes. That was Adrian Jansen reading from the collection of poetry All of Us by Adrian Jansen and Karina Galagos, and that's published by Landing Press. We also talked about her new novel, A Change of Key, written again, obviously, by Adrian Jansen and Karina Gajegos. We were also talking about the novel A Change of Key, again by Adrian Jansen and published by Escalator Press.
You're listening to Bookends on Plains FM 96.9. Owen Marshall, novelist, short story writer, poet and anthologist, has published over 30 books. Awards include the Deutz Medal for Fiction, the New Zealand Literary Fund Scholarship in Letters, many fellowships, and he's an officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit for services to literature and a companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit, and has received the Prime Minister's Award for Literary Achievement in Fiction. And so it goes on, Owen. You never stop receiving awards and more wonderful writing. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ruth. It's nice to be on the program again. And I suppose when the awards are sort of linked up like that, they seem rather more than perhaps they are. After all, I've been writing for a long time now, and I've had successes and also my failures.
Well, I can't think of any failures, but we won't discuss that. But this man, Pearly Gates, Pat Gates, who's known as Pearly Gates, is a mayor, a second-term mayor, popular, happily married, well-established, cuts an impressive figure. He feels he's achieved a lot in his life, and he's got considerable satisfaction in those achievements. So he's quite a happy, established person in the community, but he's really a big fish in a little pond, isn't he, in one of these smaller towns in the South Island.
He is very much, and I think although he's very complacent, he's not a stupid man. And the book really shows how he comes to the rather humbling realization through his own weaknesses that he is an ordinary person and a big frog in a small pond. And that's done through several consequences of his own foolishness, and also the arrival of an ex-school friend, Andrew Ness, who has an international reputation and rather shades poor Pearly.
Well, he does. And this is your gift, I think, Owen, what you can do with characters. You just take hold of the very personal way that they live, and you make me think back to the times I was living in small towns and in big towns as well, but how there were some people who've been there all the time and they feel they have almost a right to the situation they're in, say, being the mayor, and you just heighten the ordinary. It's just wonderful because you pick out their flaws, but you don't really put them down. That's what I like.
No, well, most of my novels, I suppose, are essentially character studies. That's what I'm interested in. The nature of people and the business of living. And human nature is full of ambiguities and contradictions. We've all got that mixture of virtues and weaknesses. And ordinary people are fascinating if you take the trouble, in fact, to look at them closely and to think about them and to observe them. I've lived almost all my life in provincial centres, and I'm interested also in providing some element, perhaps, of satire of that lifestyle, middle-class values and conventions, social occasions, local politics, the trivial materialism of the love of vehicles and so on.
And so, for me, and I think for many people reading Pearly Gates, will actually think back on their own lives, because it's kind of a nostalgia trip too, and think how I was a bit like that at times in my life, and there are echoes of things that I got involved in that I can kind of identify with Pearly. And that's quite a gift to do that, to write like that.
Oh, well, thank you. Also, I think these provincial towns that I tend to deal with are never far, really, from rural life and rural landscapes, are they? And that's one of the things I like to evoke in my writing, is the closeness, and you've often only got to move a few years or a generation or a change of job to go from urban life to rural life. I've spent a lot of time in South Canterbury and North Otago, and I do like to evoke the pervading sense of those places.
So when you decided to write about Pearly, were you thinking of anyone in particular or just thinking generally?
Generally, I suppose. Places, you know, I've places like Waimate and Oamaru and Timaru, but it's not based on any one town.
No.
There's also, I hope, Ruth, although, you know, we're dealing with these sometimes quite serious elements, I hope also that there is humour in this book.
I wanted
there to be humour to provide some contrast, perhaps even relief to some of the more serious issues.
That's right. So it's to do with the election, because he's decided he will stand for a third term. And then, as you've pointed out, the person, the ex-student who was at the same school as him coming back from overseas with a great academic reputation, who's going to be the guest speaker and how he copes with that. But in between, there are lots about other people, and his there's quite a lot to do with his brother, that you go back to think of their childhood, don't we? And he's inherited the farm, and Pat Purley has gone on to be more in administration in the town. So the contrasts and the sort of looking back, I liked too, because you know, would he have enjoyed life on the farm? His brother has a son who's coming back to the farm. His son, Pearlie's son, has gone to Auckland and they never see him. His daughter's in London and they never see her and their two grandchildren. Contrasting the lifestyles is fascinating.
Yes, well Pearlie's a real estate agent and a part-time mayor. But he comes from a farm, and he's got close links with the farm, which, as you say, his brother now runs. And one of the things I hope that I do in the novel is to establish the significance of his rural background and his rural experience. And there are several little snippets in the novel in italics, which are windows really on Purdy's backstory and his upbringing and his time at varsity and his sporting aspirations and so on. And there's also an element of satire as well as humour on middle-class values and conventions. So Purdy's rural connections are very important, I think, in the novel, as you say.
So you were writing a satire from the beginning. You knew you were doing that. You'd planned that, or you'd thought about that.
Yes, I had. Although I hope the satire is not particularly vicious satire. Purlie, I hope has virtues as well as weaknesses. So I hoped it would be a rounded picture, and that people would have some sympathy for Purley despite his failings. After all, he does some rather underhand things during the novel, certainly, doesn't he? Particularly in ensuring that he is re-elected as mayor, and he comes to regret his actions in that regard.
Well, that's what I like about him. You know, it's gentle satire in my book, and it's we all have flaws and good points, I hope, and we often don't recognise our own flaws. We recognise them in other people, as he did, but I didn't want to like him, leading up to that election, and yet I couldn't help it because I was chuckling regularly throughout the book because of the little touches of humour, and I identified a little bit. I'm sure a lot of people, women, would identify with Helen, his wife, who was fairly tolerant of his lifestyle, and she had sort of given up nursing and was looking forward to going back. But he coped with all that too, didn't he? He was quite enthusiastic about her going back, though he didn't really know how he would handle it.
I'm glad you had that reaction. It's an ambivalence in the reader that I hope to create, but perhaps finally with a sense of sympathy towards Purlie despite his failings. And as you say, his marriage is another quite important aspect of the novel, and the exploration of the relationship between Purlie and Helen, and her understanding and her support, their mutual support, I suppose, despite some of the things that happened between them and they experienced together.
So you've written so many different kinds of books, and a poet. You're a poet, Owen. Do you prefer this kind of novel?
I think I'm basically a realistic writer. I do enjoy some of the postmodernist flights and so on, and I occasionally write alternative stories. But basically, I'm comfortable within the realistic tradition of fiction writing. and also generally contemporary. I wrote one historical novel dealing with the Larnax, but generally I'm happy and content within contemporary fiction.
Well, thank you for writing Pearly Gates, because it's an absolute delight, and everybody will love Pearly in lots of ways and think, oh, you're pompous in others. And that's why it's so real and so much we can see of people in it. And that's what you do best. So look out for Owen Marshall's recent novel that's just published, Pearly Gates, and it's published by Vintage. Thanks, Owen.
Thank you, Ruth, and it's a pleasure to be on your programme as ever.
Yes, thank you. We're glad to have you back. Keep writing, well, keep writing. I need another another Pearly Gates. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And join us, Maureen Rout and Ruth Todd, next Tuesday on Bookends on Plains FM 96.9.